This is Dial a Saint, introducing Saint Rita of Cassia. To care for others because we love them is not only a human act, it is godlike. It was Christ who said that the real test of love for him is to love someone who appears unlovable. In 1381, God gave a baby girl to Anthony Amata Mancini. This couple had been married for many years and lived in Roccaperino, a village of about 100 persons, hidden among the hills of northern Italy. No schools were available to teach Rita to read and write. Her only book was the crucifix, through which she learned about God. She loved him a great deal, and even the villagers noticed this love by the kind way she spoke and acted. Most of all, she enjoyed praying to God. She even hoped later to enter the Augustinian convent nearby. Her parents, however, were more concerned that someone take care of her since they were old, and so arranged that the son of a little-known family from a neighboring district marry Rita, who was then 18. Rita was heartbroken, but gave herself to do God's will. The marriage of Rita and Paul was one of opposites. Paul, who was stubborn, coarse, and ruthless, soon terrorized the entire neighborhood. He acquired quite a few enemies, and would often release his unhappiness on Rita through curses, insults, beatings, and infidelity. Rita's greatest fears were not for herself or her two sons, but that Paul might be killed by someone before he could repent to God for his life. To bring about his conversion, she became very patient with his outbursts, and day after day countered his brutality with meekness and kindness, special acts of fasting and helping the poor. Slowly, over their 18-year marriage, Paul began to change. He would leave the house when his temper flared, and finally knelt before Rita to acknowledge his wrongs and ask forgiveness. The villagers noticed Paul's change too, as did some of his enemies, who learned that he no longer carried weapons. One evening, they ambushed him by the river and killed him. Paul's conversion had been accomplished, but now the two boys were talking of a vendetta to avenge their father's murder. Rita prayed that God would take them before they would commit this sin. Her prayers to willingly sacrifice her sons to keep them free from serious sin were heard. Within a year after Paul's death, they both became seriously ill and died. Rita was now alone. She asked God again that she might be allowed to enter the convent. Her first visit brought the answer that it was not possible because only unmarried girls were considered, and she was now a widow. Undaunted, after another period of prayer, she applied again, only to be refused. After still more fasting and prayer, she was awakened one night by the voices of St. John the Baptist, Augustine, and Nicholas Tolentino. These saints led her to the convent, right through its bolted doors, and into the chapel where the sisters would soon assemble for their morning prayers. The surprised Mother Superior quickly accepted her into the convent. She compared her days to a ladder between herself and God. She planned that each day should represent a step upward toward perfection. She had no desire for comfort and often gave portions of her meals to the poor who came to the convent gates. Temptations against chastity were repulsed, as were those against pride. She was obedient to her superior, who tested her one day by saying that she was to water a dried-up vine each day. She obediently carried out the assigned task for a long time, which amused some of the other sisters. Her humility was rewarded when the surprised sisters found that the vine had sprouted and bloomed. It gives grapes even to this day. Throughout her life, Rita's devotion to Christ crucified grew. She earnestly desired to share in the pains Christ had suffered on the cross. One day, while in chapel, she received a thorn wound in her forehead from Christ's crown. In a small way, now, Rita could share in the pains of Christ's sufferings, which had been given earlier to St. Francis of Assisi. Like his, her wound did not heal. It looked and smelled so badly that the sisters moved her to a small room far from the others. Isolation and suffering was to continue this way for the next 15 years, except for a brief period. A holy year had been declared in Rome, and Rita, along with several others, had asked permission to go. The only obstacle for Rita was her open wound. She asked God the special favor that the outward wound might heal while the internal pain might continue. This was granted, and so Rita, now in her late 60s, could join the others as they walked to Rome. Within minutes of their return, her wound opened again. During the cold, snowy winter before her death, she asked a relative to pick a rose from the garden in her home. The visitor obeyed, but complained that Rita must be sick since roses did not bloom during winter. But there in the garden, one large red rose flower was found. Next, Rita requested two figs from the same garden. The same relative doubted no longer, and this time brought the two fresh figs. Near the end of her life, Jesus and Mary appeared to her and promised that within 3 days she would be with them in heaven. Within 3 days, in the year 1457, she died at the age of 76. At the moment of death, the convent bell rang by itself, the wound on her forehead healed, and a sweet fragrance filled the room. The entire village came at the news, and it was necessary to view the body in a larger parish church. There were many miracles worked through her intercession, and the always present sweet smell encouraged many to visit the church. For the next 138 years, the open coffin remained at the foot of the altar. Without ever having been embalmed, her body still remains fresh, and the sweet perfume of holiness is still noticed in the church in Cassia, now a basilica, named after her to the honor of God. Rita is the patron saint of desperate and impossible cases. All that she did and endured through her parents, her husband, and as a religious, were answered by the question, what will this profit me for eternity? We must evaluate the situations in our lives in the same way.